We are born free, and we will die free. The time in between, though, that's complicated.
In that time, governments, institutions, and our egos will limit our ability to find true freedom in this life. These are real stories of real people overcoming the odds, persevering in justice, and unlocking their potential. Welcome to Finding Freedom. Here's your host, John Oderman.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Finding Freedom here on the Lions of Liberty Network. And welcome to everyone who is watching live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Rumble. Just got a notification that Facebook is having issues, so we'll see if that even works. And also welcome to those who are listening on audio when it publishes on Monday. So excited for today's show, and really want to highly encourage you, if you like this show, please subscribe not only to the audio format, but also, you know, whatever your favorite video platform is. Make sure you're, you know, following us on Twitter. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and on Rumble. And on YouTube, make sure to hit that notification bell, because we have like almost 7,000 subscribers, and yet our videos get a fraction of that, because I think we've said some things that the YouTube algorithm doesn't like, but that's okay. We'll probably do more of that today. Speaking of today, I want to bring on my guest, who is a repeat guest. I don't think that Dan, my guest today, Dan Wise, I don't think he's been on the show since I renamed it previously Felony Friday. Now, of course, Finding Freedom. And when Dan was on the show previously, we talked almost exclusively about his career, his vocation as a prison consultant, and how he got into that, and really what that was all about. We also talked a little bit about, at the time, he had a YouTube channel, and maybe still has it, around the prison consulting business. And I was telling Dan pre-show that one of the big things that got me into doing video at all was his YouTube channel, and seeing that, you know, he showed me his setup, how he was able to do it. So I was like, oh, I just got to buy some lights and get a little webcam, and I can do this. So Dan, it's great to have you back on the show.
Welcome to 2024, John. Look at you all videoed up, mustache, looking handsome as ever, my man.
The mustache. Yeah. I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep it.
Are you a firefighter?
I don't think this summer, but We'll see. I didn't think I would keep it this long. Just one of those things. But
well, it suits you. At least you can grow a mustache.
Yeah, it's about all I can grow. I can't really grow the full beard, so that's why I'm sticking with the mustache. But you know, Dan, I reached out to you a few weeks ago, and I'm really interested in, you know, the things that you're doing with, you know, your podcast, and really with your whole podcasting platform, your Wise Media Group, how you're really giving your local community there in Yakima the opportunity to, you know, access a podcast studio, a real podcast studio. Those of you who are watching on video can see Dan's beautiful podcast studio behind him. And we'll get into talking about, you know, all of that and why he did it and how it's going. And I'm interested in, from my perspective, just learning about it, because it's something that I've really, you know, put some serious thought into doing myself here in the Pittsburgh area. But before we get into all of that, you know, I gave a real brief intro of you at the top, Dan. Maybe you could give the audience who isn't familiar with you, you know, a little bit about you and everything you're working on now.
Sure, I'm currently busy sharing this podcast all over social media as we talk, John. Yeah, man, I think it was like 2016 or 2017 when you had me on Lines of Liberty Felony Friday. Is that what it was called?
Felony Friday. That was it.
Felony Friday. It was one of my first legitimate podcasts that I had been a guest on. Actually brought me a lot of, I wouldn't say brought me business, so to speak, but it brought me a lot of, a lot of people use that as like, all right, you know, this seems legit. It was a great platform. It was like I hadn't done news yet, so you definitely helped me build my confidence in my talking game. So thank you. What was the question?
No, just a little bit, just a little bit about yourself. What you're doing these days.
So back
out there in Yakima.
Back when you met me, I'm not sure exactly how we met. I think it might have been like through a mutual friend, Larry Levine or Holly Coleman or one of those. And I spent some time in federal prison. I was sentenced to 42 months in the feds. I got indicted back in 2011 for my role working for a doctor's office, a pill mill, and ultimately took a prison sentence, shortened it with some programs like RDAP, Residential Drug Abuse Program, Good Time, things like that. But then when I released home back from prison, I started to create content around the idea of how to better mentally prepare an individual getting ready to go into the prison system. Not so much of like how to prepare to fight, but how to mentally prepare what you tell your kids, letters to the judge, substance abuse programs, things like that, all surrounding around accountability. And the community just kind of grew. It grew into a full until COVID, it was a nice 7-figure a year business. Paid the bills, gave me a lot of gratitude, a lot of thankfulness, and allowed me to make content, which I like seeing myself on camera, you know. So it's been a lot of fun. But there was a drawback to the consulting side of the world, because PTSD is like a real thing. Anybody that's had any, and PTSD comes in all shapes and sizes. My PTSD doesn't debilitate me to where like I can't leave the house, but every time I talk to somebody and I hear their prison story and they're getting ready to go to prison and they're leaving their kids and losing their family and thinking about suicide, kind of relives my own experience that I went through. And as much as I like making content, I wanted to find a way to continue to do that because it's for a good cause. But I also wanted to do stuff that was more helping people, but not so much that it took like such a mental toll out of my day-to-day life. And slowly started developing what today is Wise Media Studios. It started off, it was a million different things. It was 40 and beyond. It was going to be about health and nutrition, kind of similar to like what you got going on with the gut health. Mm-hmm. It was going to be, entrepreneurship, the road to failureship and entrepreneurs beginning, kind of talking about how most successful people that we come across, if you really kind of pick their brain, you'll find out that there is, you know, what some people identify as failure, others identify as stepping stones in life where they kind of learn from their mistakes and pick up the pieces and keep moving. And I just always felt like, man, there's something missing for the underdog, for the local communities. Creating content and podcasts and YouTube channels, it's, you know, you can, anybody can go out there and create, you know, pizzas and stuff that's comical or stuff that kind of caters to everybody. But mm-hmm. when you're not passionate about it, it will fizzle out eventually. The flip side is when you really find something that you're passionate about, how do you find a way to monetize that? And that's kind of what we're doing here in Yakima. You know, we're, even though a lot of our content does cater to, you know, a wider audience outside of the Yakima net, our main priority and our main focus where we spend our advertising dollars, we really kind of spend it on Yakima and the immediate surrounding areas.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What you were just talking about there, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this lately. Cause obviously with Felony Friday, I interviewed a lot of people who had been through and were going through, you know, some really difficult situations, navigating the prison system, navigating life after prison. And then with Finding Freedom, I've interviewed a lot of really successful entrepreneurs, a lot of people who are, you know, really, you know, into health and fitness, who have, you know, that down, you know, down to a science. And looking at the two, you know, I've kind of discovered some common links between them, some common traits. And, you know, I think you being someone who has been through the prison system and is a successful entrepreneur kind of, you know, perfectly embody the meeting of those two streams. And, you know, it's people who just like, don't quit. I mean, you don't give up. You have that faith. You have that vision that you're going to see through to the other side. It's people who find something to be that they're passionate about. And maybe that passion, you know, is something when they're in prison that helps them that tunnel vision to get through it. And entrepreneurs, you have to have passion about what you're working on in order to be successful. So it's just been interesting. And I've thought about writing a book about it because I think there's more common traits between highly successful people and people who overcome, you know, really difficult situations. But that just popped in my head. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, because, you know, overcoming adversity and defining, you know, your past discretions and not being the person that you kind of defined yourself as in the past, it really is hard to break out of that mold because, I mean, yeah, there's the naysayers, there's the people expecting you to fail. And a lot of that is, you know, our own, what I think of as like negative self-talk, where we almost kind of give ourselves excuses and it's okay to fail. And look, not everybody's going to be designed to be some, you know, entrepreneur extraordinaire. For me, you know, even leading me what went to prison initially, you know, I've come to terms on it that it was all about the drive, the hustle, the chase. You know, it was never about the money. You know, if it was about the money, I would have made money when I went to prison. But I think I would have been working at McDonald's and made more money than I did going to prison. The prison consulting and doing what I do now, it really is like the day-to-day grind of how am I going to make this work? You know, how many nights do I got to skip out on from going out with friends? And, you know, how many times do I got to put down, you know, a beer because I know I need to get up early the next day? Creating self-discipline has probably been the single hardest thing to do, and being able to measure success in doses, you know, because we all look at where we want to be, but we don't really look at like, okay, what's the blueprint to get there? And for many of us, including myself, it starts with some really, really simple things like making your bed when you get up in the morning and doing your dirty dishes before you go to bed, kind of creating those endorphins in your brain and realizing that, you know, I get to do this for a living. You know, I get to podcast, I get to prison consult, I get to speak professionally, I get to do these things. I think the moment that I have to do these things will be the day that I kind of hang it up and don't want to do it. Because that's part of the beauty in this is we get to do this on our own terms. And platforms, you know, they come and go, Rumble, YouTube, Twitter, X, all these companies, you know, we have to find a way to fit into the algorithm. But at the end of the day, you and I, we get to do the things that we want to do because we're willing to put in the hard work. So when the opportunity does pop its head out, what others might look like, oh, you got lucky, but it's really preparing yourself to identify opportunity when it presents itself, because so many times opportunity presents itself to individuals and they're not willing to put in the work to go after it. And then they'll have a undesirable excuse as to why it didn't work out.
Yeah. I think that's such a great point, that success in small doses, that consistency over time. I mean, it's vital. I mean, especially in podcasting, especially in, you know, content creation in general. You know, I think so many podcasters end up failing because they think they can approach podcasting as, okay, I'm passionate about it right now. I'm going to, you know, make 20 episodes and, you know, they come in gung-ho and then they get to episode 21, episode 30. Then those episodes, maybe they started out, they were doing every week, then it's every month, then it's every quarter. And yeah, you can't sustain momentum.
Yeah, I think there's a podcast.
You can't build an audience.
There's a big fallacy when it comes to like income related to podcasting. So we've got an 1800 square foot studio. What you're looking at right now is like where we mm-hmm. do our main podcasting, but we have a front area where we do weekly. We have people that rent out the studio to do, like, we have a bunch of local Facebook groups here in the area, Yakima, like local Facebook groups, and they come here to meet up and do things like this. And we also rent out studio space to people that want to start their own podcast. They can either hire us to produce it, they can use just the studio, whatever they want to do. But one of the common questions we get is when they ask how much it is, they ask if we're willing to carry the cost for the first 30 days until their podcast starts making money. And I try to explain to them, because look, a lot of them have great ideas, but yeah. they don't understand that it takes much more than just a good idea. You know, we see things like Joe Rogan and some of these like really massive, you know, YouTube/podcast, you know, video content creators. Mm-hmm. And the team that some of these people have behind them, marketing and this, the whole thing. I mean, granted, now we have AI, which has been fucking, I don't know if you can curse on your channel, but it's been absolutely amazing for small businesses to be able to scale and compete. But I've been doing this podcast, Wise Media Studios. We've got, I don't know, a couple thousand subscribers. And the only money we're making, we just started breaking even, not even 30 days ago. And it's not because of algorithm or YouTube revenue. It's because of sponsors and our direct marketing plan of focusing directly in our local community. It makes it somewhat easier to go door to door, basically, you know, foot patrol, asking people if they want to sponsor videos. Because, you know, if we make a video content creation here that's specifically Yakima related, whether it's business related, one of our segments is called The Streets of Yakima, Homeless and Addicted, where we kind of bring light to the homeless addiction in the area. But all the viewers that watch are most likely local here to Yakima. So now when I go to Joe's Pizza, mm-hmm. say, hey, do you want to advertise? Joe's Pizza is not going to advertise if the eyeballs are coming from California, because, you know, no one's going to eat Joe's Pizza. So that was our game plan behind the marketing strategy. And it's finally starting to, like, I was getting nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, we're dumping about 10 grand a month into this process. And I was like, man, how deep can I go before I got to pull the plug? But yeah, we, you know, hard work. We've been, as you know, I've been at this kind of concept for 7-8 years now.
Yeah, and I think the direction you're going in, it's trailblazing, really. I mean, you're the work you're putting in right now. You know, you could probably years from now, or months from now, create a course on it, and then sell that. Because seriously, I think this is a direction, not the direction. I think podcasting will continue to go in many different directions. The Joe Rogan model is a model that works. You know, for a podcast that wants to reach the nation, you know, speak to.
Right.
To a huge audience, but community-based podcasting, like you're talking about, where you can bring into a niche, whatever you say that word, in a community, and then, like you said, start to market those local businesses. Local business owners can come on the podcast, and like you talked about, that viewer, that watcher, that listener, whatever, is so much more valuable to the marketers in that local community, because they're right there. They can take action. They can buy products, services the next day. And I had on a friend of mine, Chris Spangle, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. And he has a startup in Indianapolis, which is doing something kind of similar to you. But his is more focused on not having a hub, a podcast studio like you have, but rather taking the podcast and having people podcast in coffee shops, in restaurants, in places out in the community, and hosting get-togethers that way. So I think there's a lot of different directions to go in. And I think right now you're kind of on the forefront of it.
Yeah. You know, and there's really no bad idea. It's just, again, we're limited to bandwidth. You know, I'll see master of many, or what is it? Jack of all trades, master of none type individuals, where it's like, yeah, all these ideas are fire, but you have to you got to get your foot off the ground with something to start building yourself some kind of credibility. And so we moved into this building. We're in a super cool building in downtown Yakima. It's the Larson building, which is the tallest historic building in Yakima. And also happens to be like, it's crazy how less expensive things are here versus what it was in South Florida.
Let me ask you something about Yakima, because sure. I'm only familiar with Yakima because,
You're going to make me look.
I used to know,
I'm still learning.
I used to have a mutual friend that lived there. Like, literally, I only knew the name. I know nothing about Yakima. I'm on the other side of the country.
I thought it was a bike rack, honestly.
So for people like me, can you share like the size of the city and, you know, some details about it?
Population wise, I honestly, I don't know. I will tell you, it's small. It's a small town. Everybody tends to know everybody, which is good and bad. We've started. So we've come under some fire already. You know, I'm quite the outspoken individual. And part of our thing that we do here is Spotlight Business Thursday, where we interview local businesses. Well, with that, also, we get people that bring us information on not so good businesses, kind of scammy, shady, a lot of construction, HVAC. So we started doing segments kind of like editorials where we're creating a blog post and where, you know, buyer beware, to where we've done a couple. We've done one on a local company here called Coastal Farm and Ranch, which is like your typical farm and ranch store. You get hay, cat food, all those things, where they got a cat problem. So they've just been handing the employees BB guns to go out and randomly like rid of these cats, which doesn't work. You're hurting them, you're injuring them, you're getting infections, and really it's inhumane. So we started posting on that, and we've gotten a lot of pushback. We've gotten our windows have been shot out in the building already.
Wow.
I've already had death threats. You know, we just did a piece on a local guy here who's collected a bunch of money up front for HVAC services and then never showed up for the jobs. Did some research on him, found out he's got several lawsuits pending against him, things like this. And, you know, we have a platform where we're starting to expose this, which is we're growing really fast, mostly because of that type of stuff. So, you know, I caution anybody in a small town, if you live somewhere small and you're going to start a podcast, you got to remember, you're going to be commingling with these people. You're going to be out in public. It's easy to create a target on your back. I'm personally okay with that. You know, I kind of knew what I was getting myself into before I did it, but it is a different world. It's not a very big space at all. It's very small.
How did you end up in Yakima? Because I think the last time I talked to you, you were in Florida.
Yeah, Miami. Right. about as far as you can go, 3,500 miles to be exact. So my fiance Shelly, who was also on my federal indictment, she went to federal prison with me. She's originally from Yakima. Her grandfather got sick. Her brother had a baby. After COVID, our, you know, $1,800 apartment in South Florida went up to almost like $4,000. It just, wow. It just got unbearable, you know, to be able to do the things that you love to do. You know, I always used to joke around about South Florida because it's kind of like a very islandy state. And you've got the wealthy entrepreneurs that are enjoying the life there. But then the average person that works in South Florida, the only way they're really getting to these country clubs is kind of if they're the help, if they're the service, you know, if they're working there. So it's hard to balance that life. Yakima just provided a fraction of the cost of living, and my prison consulting business is still my primary, you know, bread and butter, and I can do that from anywhere. So welcome to Yakima.
Yeah, a digital nomad in Yakima. That's awesome. So you talked a little bit about some of the services that are offered through your podcast studio. You know, people can come in and maybe they've never podcasted before. It's their first time, and you can help them create a podcast from A to Z, all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
What other, you know, with that, and like, what else do you offer with the podcast studio?
So we do full SEO. My partner, Tony White, he owns a company called SEO Dealers. So we do everything from website creation, promoting your website, social media migration. We've gotten heavy into AI specifically on the bot side of integrating AI with your social media platforms and your physical websites, or, you know, we also do a lot of, we rent out our space.
I'm just curious. Can you expand on that? With integrating AI, maybe an example, like integrating AI with a website. What do you mean?
So, you know how you go to a website and it's got your little chat bot down there, like, hey, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. So one of our silent partners on the AI side, he creates this AI technology using ChatGPT-4 and all this stuff. And again, this is not my wheelhouse. I just am a beneficiary of it for being in the right place at the right time, truth be told. But when you go to a website, if you have, so AI, if you kind of think of it as, for a client that hires us, you know, it's going to be probably an average of like $7,000 to $10,000. It's not cheap, because you're not getting a cheap product. What happens is we're going to spend probably 30 to 40 hours with you on learning your product and creating the average prompts. The more, like AI, the way AI works, the more information you give it, the better the outcome is. So like, if you say AI, write a 30-page essay on why, you know, tadpoles turn into frogs. It's going to give you a very vague version of that, but if you, the more specific detail you ask it, the better the product's going to be. So when we integrate some of these AI bots into websites and social media, it's really designed for teams that don't have the manpower to sit there and, like, for car dealerships, they get a lot of inquiries. Insurance agents, they get a lot of inquiries. Real estate agents, they get a lot of inquiries to help free up some of your time. And you really have to teach the concept of, like, Timothy Ferris's 4-hour work week, mm-hmm. where you have to teach people the value of time and money, and how do you break that down? What's your time worth? What's your money worth? Sometimes people will struggle with spending the money, but yet they're going to spend 10 times that by not putting themselves in a situation to deal with incoming cold calls. So a proper bot, if it's really designed right, it's never going to be intended to be a human. We're not trying to trick you, but we are trying to really migrate your series of questions to a funnel that is going to best suit the team, best suit the client, to give the best experience overall. You want a house, we want to give you a house, but you may not be a good candidate, and we don't want to spend the next 10 hours figuring that out to go, oh shit, you should be renting for the next 12 months. So we teach, we have seminars. Like, we've got one coming up, it's going to be virtual. I'll send you a link. You're welcome to join. It's free. April 6th, we have guest speakers come in, and it's really all about how technology has evolved into where we are right now. And we should stop looking at it as, like, a bad thing. Like, a lot of people are afraid of AI. Oh, it's going to make us dumber. Mm-hmm. It's going to take our jobs. It really, if you use AI right, it expands your brain, because it's actually teaching you how to critical think a lot better. It's when you put in a prompt to AI and you're like, fuck, that's not what I wanted it to do. You've got to now go rethink that question to ask the question properly. And if you did that, and most times, I mean, how many times does somebody ask you a question? You're like, well, what are you trying to say? Like, they just can't get it out because they're not used to communicating in a pro-social kind of environment. So we run free seminars on that. And those seminars convert into dollars and cents, because people are like, oh, you got a studio. Oh, you got a podcast. You know, every Thursday, the Spotlight Thursday, it's kind of like speed dating. We have 4 or 5 businesses come in. Each one is, you know, 10 to 15 minute long. We have ChatGPT creates all the questions, and it's, you know, John, who are you? What do you do? How can people find you? What do you want people to know? One of the questions, though, when you fill out your form is, are you interested in just being on our Spotlight? Are you interested in also being a sponsor? So we get a lot of our sponsors. We've been getting about a sponsor a month from that, and sponsors range anywhere from like $500 to $2,000 a month, depending on, you know, what level of involvement they want to be. So it's, you know, being transparent about, hey, we want your money, but we also want to promote your business. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're doing the right thing.
So with this podcasting, you know, local podcast model, a podcast studio model, is this something that you think is better suited for a smaller town like Yakima? Or, you know, is this something that, obviously, I guess if you just open one in a bigger city, like if you open one in LA or San Francisco,
you know, the problem
you could have multiple.
That's the problem. So we tried doing this for a year in between South Florida and Melbourne, Florida. And we got like next to no traction, because there's other studios around, you know, you're not the only guy in the neighborhood. And, you know, I'm all for share the wealth, but unfortunately where I was, the other studios were very misrepresenting of what they actually do. They claim to do a lot of this stuff, but they don't. When you go in their studio, you can tell it's like 1980 technology in there. They just don't have the technology. So when they would see the stuff that we're using, they're like, oh, but you probably can't do this, you can't do that. And it's like, not only can I do that, I can do it from my bathroom. I can, like you said, we have a complete on-the-go set where it's, we've moved this. If we were to like undo everything I have in here and go set up, it's like a 2-hour breakdown, a 2-hour setup. So we end up investing, you know, another $20,000 into basically identical equipment that we just leave everything plugged in, and we take the equipment and go to places where we run a AT&T. It's like a glorified hotspot. I forgot what it's called, like a Nighthawk, where we're running like ridiculously high internet speeds. And really thinking outside of the box, like you go to networking groups like BNI, things like that. So we started going to some of the local networking groups and saying, hey, you've got the same 20, 30 people that come in here every week or every month. They kind of give their sales pitch, and you guys go around and pass out business cards. You hope to transfer business. almost every single one of those people that are in that networking group have some sort of social media following, or at least they should if they're in business. So our plan was, what we've been doing now for the last 6 months, is using StreamYard, we will create a future stream with all of the speakers that are going to be on there, get access to all of their social media, and then they let their entire, we'll call it fan base, they'll let their entire follower fan base know when they're going to be live. So now when we go to these networking groups, not only are we connecting to the people, the 30 or 40 people in there, we're connecting to 3 or 4,000 people scattered. Yeah. And Wise Media Studios is at the bottom of it because people are like, how are you going to do this for free? I learned it at a lemonade stand for my kids. We created a lemonade stand. We put a price on the lemonade and the cookies and hardly sold anything. Cops came by and said, you can't do this without a permit. Well, my kids were little. I was like, well, fuck the police kind of thing. It's before prison. I said, let's just give the lemonade away for free and accept donations. When we put free lemonade donations accepted, we made like $1,000. So I realized in the concept of giving something away with a plan to bring it back in. That's worked over and over and over again, you know? So that's kind of how we survive here and make money here. We rely a lot. We'll put a commercial together for somebody, not a super involved commercial, but like a commercial, and we'll give it to John for free and say, John, if you like this commercial, use it wherever you want. If you feel like donating, here's our links. Most people send $500, you know, almost a given. If I would have came to you and said, hey, I'll make a commercial for $500, you wouldn't have done it because you didn't have it in your hands yet. You didn't see the value. So we're coming from a world where I understand people don't understand what goes into editing, video recording, drone footage. So I can't get mad when people don't want to pay for it because they think it's minutes of work.
Yeah. That's a really good point. So I think the term for that, so you're delivering value, right? You're giving, you know, someone a commercial, something valuable to them. And I forget the name of the book. It's about persuasion. I'm not going to think of it. On my desk next to me. It's Robert Cialdini. I can't remember the name of the book.
Yeah.
He also has another one called Persuasion, but in this book, he talks about it's the power of reciprocity. So you give someone something for free, they are much more likely to, you know, they're going to want to reciprocate that and pay you money, subscribe to your service, whatever. And it's not, you know, some people say, well, you're trying to manipulate people. No, you're not. You're doing really business. Not. You're promoting yourself. It's life is persuasion. I mean, everything in life is sales to some degree. Even if you have a job and you go sit at a desk and it's a 9-to-5 job and you clock in every morning at 9, you clock every day at 5 and you go home, that time that you're there from 9 to 5, or if you're sitting at home remotely working from 9 to 5, you are selling yourself to that company and you are selling what you're doing, your skill set, your personality, your ability to hold back from cursing the people over Zoom meetings. That is all you selling yourself. So people need to come around to understand the importance to learn persuasion and to really put into place some techniques like you just talked about.
Yeah, it's really kind of like you get access to all the tools and then you sometimes have to go back and say, okay, I know this is supposed to be designed to do this. We go to these once a month here. They have a big, it's called the green market, where they have vendors. You know what green markets are: fruits, vegetables, products, everything. We go to these markets. We met with the people that host it. I forgot what you call it, whatever they are. And we said, hey, would it be cool if we go around and we interview people? We'll give you guys the footage. We'll take drone footage. So we go booth to booth and we interview. Wow. John, let me get your business card. What's your name? We put a little mic on them. We record them for like maybe 30 seconds. They tell us about who they are. We take the footage back. We have like 40 of these. We go back. We go to their social media. We find their products. And then we kind of create it's not completely template, but it's very, each interview is going to be somewhat similar. Maybe we swap out some tech so it has a little bit of uniqueness to it. But to do like 40 to 50 of them, it might take us a week. And then we send these off in a website with a little blog, something about your business. And half of them are extremely receptive, where we pull in an extra 10, 15 grand a month off of, and those people never would have purchased anything from us, because they don't understand the value of, they think making a commercial is this production, and it can be, but it doesn't need to be anymore with technology and social media. If I can get 30 seconds of John telling me why the thing that you're selling for the gut health, you know, John, tell me why it's so important to you. You spend 30 seconds talking about that, and I throw in some B footage, some stock footage. Next thing you know, you've got a produced commercial that you can go share it on social media now, and you look like a rock star. That's, you know, we found a way to kind of like do that in a way to where people are extremely happy with the news has jumped on it. Doing stuff for the right reasons doesn't mean you have to be selfless. You just can't be an asshole. Like we do every Christmas, we do the Grinch Who Stole the Christmas podcast, where we do this big production where we have the Grinch come in, we have kids sitting here, and it's live streaming and there's presents. That kind of stuff gets the community involved. Media gets behind it. Now people know who you are. And you asked about doing this in a big community versus a small community. That was our struggle, was we just couldn't get enough people to stay focused on us because other companies were outspending us, but they weren't really providing anything. Here, they're like, what's a podcast? I'm like, well, come on in, you know, and we get free tours. You know, again, I get to do this. I'm not desperate for money. That would change the things. I don't suggest anybody go quit their day job and go pull out your 401k and go start a podcast studio overnight, unless you've got a rock solid business plan. But this is really hard. And for me, it's passionate. I love doing it. So there's that. It's not for everybody. It's not for the faint. That's for sure.
Yeah. Takes work. And like I said, I mean, and I mean it when I say it, I think you're really trailblazing a new space for podcasting and content creation. So that's very, very cool. I did want to pivot here. We can come back to Wise Media at the end, but I definitely want to talk about this because I thought it was so cool. And this was several months ago on Facebook. I noticed that you were posting about this duck that you had you found on the side of the road, and you were nurturing it back to health. I was wondering if you don't have to share the whole story, but just kind of talk about that story. And now I know you're a duck owner. You have multiple ducks, and you're posting pictures with, making eggs with them. So if you could just share that story, I think it was awesome. And I told you at the time, I think that you should write a children's book about it.
It's so funny. Give me 2 seconds. I'll tell you the backstory. So we interview local businesses, and one of the local businesses we interviewed is a local children's book illustrator who does illustrations for some lady that wrote her very first book, children's book. And I told her about the duck story. So I sent her some content, and she just had me come out to her house for dinner, and Penny the Lucky Duck children's book coming soon. And she did it from the perspective of the duck, which is awesome. Oh my God, but I'll start crying talking about it.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But so the way it started is Florida Dan knows nothing about ducks other than like they like bread and swim in lakes. Shelly and I, we've got pets at home. We've got dogs, cats. We've got two lizards that hitchhiked from Florida to here as eggs in a Florida plant that we brought with us. And a month later, two little baby lizard eggs hatched. So I've got lizards. So we went to the pet store. And coming out of the pet store, I'm a big advocate of if I find a penny on heads, it's lucky for me. If I find a penny on tails, I flip it over and it's going to be lucky for you for the next person to find it. Well, that day I found this penny on heads that was just looked like it had been to hell and back, stuck in my pocket, and we got in the car and we weren't 3 minutes out of the pet store, and I saw this duck in the road and I thought it was dead. So we pulled over just to move it out of the road. But as soon as I touched it, it started flopping around. And you could tell that its leg was damaged to some extent. It was like your regular mallard type of a duck. So we took it home and we didn't know what to do with it. Everyone's like, oh, cook it, eat it, kill it, you know, give it away, whatever. No one had any real significant input. We brought it to the vet, had to amputate its leg. So now we're like invested a few hundred dollars into this duck. So we ended up naming Penny the Lucky Duck. And she only, actually, I don't know if you know this, but she passed away. She only lived for about 2 or 3 weeks. She ended up developing an infection, and she honestly, truth be told, she was a flight duck. I don't know if you know the difference. There's flight ducks and there's wingless, like there's flightless ducks, like they call them meat ducks that can't really fly.
Okay.
So we got Penny a friend, And then Penny died. So then we had to go get another. So we rescued another duck named Olivia that was getting like just destroyed every day by a bunch of male ducks. So slowly developed how to like care for ducks, and they're super cool. They're super sweet, awesome eggs. But yeah, that's Penny the Lucky Duck, which is now being turned into a children's book. And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it all starts. Yeah, you find a penny, and then a lot of people would see a wounded duck in the street. I'm sure a lot of people did, just drove past, kept going. But yeah, you guys opened up your home, and by giving back that kindness, it's opened up other avenues for you. So I think that's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's a great way that I vet my, you know, because I carry a lot of the old version of me that still has a lot of pent up frustration, anger, you know, pain, hurt, all the things that we all have it. Nothing special. But finding avenues to deal with it and things to kind of like counteract it. And when you focus on some of the really beautiful things that are in the world, being kind, because being kind is not always easy. It's an inconvenience. You know, you got to stop your car. We can't go on vacation because we get ducks at home. So there's a cost that we're accepting into our lives by doing some of these things that, you know, you got to think that through. Not everybody can go rescue a duck. But thank you. I appreciate that, John.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Dan, we've talked about a bunch of different things. Talk about podcasting, what you're doing with Wise Media Group. We talked about Penny the Lucky Duck. We talked about your past prison consulting and that business. Is there anything else that you're working on, or anything else that I didn't ask you about that you wanted to talk about? Or if not, just any message that you want to double down on for my audience?
I think you covered everything pretty good. You know, my life is pretty, it's pretty routine now. You know, I get up, come to the studio. We, you know, constantly editing content, creating content. We have an awesome video editor. You know, that's always helpful. I'm big in the bartering space. You know, when I got, like, we met a group that they podcast on a regular basis. So we give them free studio space, and in return, they do all of our editing for the most part. Nice. So that's been fantastic. You know, I tell anybody, like, if you want to start a podcast, do it the right way. Start video and audio at the same time, because as you know, for me, it was scary to go into audio because I knew nothing about it. For you, scary to go into video. But once right. we kind of crossed over to those bridges, you're like, fuck, it's basically the same thing I've already been doing. Now I got to upload a year's worth of content. Take advantage of ChatGPT. Don't be afraid of it. Don't, you know, use it for what it's there for. It still requires human being interaction. But podcasting, all you need is an iPhone, a halfway decent camera. You can buy, they got nice microphones, wireless microphones now that plug right into your cell phone for like $30, $40 on Amazon. We use them all the time. And start creating content. Don't think that you're going to go out and spend all this money on, you know, top-notch equipment. That's not going to bring business in. That's going to put you in debt and stress you out. And then you're going to end up selling all your equipment to somebody like me for like a fraction of the penny. Just get out there and grind, man. Don't make excuses, because this world is not forgiving. We're in really tough times. We're in election year. If you walk out into your local community and you look at what's fucked up with it, the school systems, the homeless addiction, the people not knowing really what's going on, there's content out there. You just got to be willing to talk about it and kind of see where it goes.
Yeah, it's 2024 and everyone has a cell phone. Everyone can be a storyteller. So there's nothing holding anyone back from doing it really at this point in time.
Amen.
Dan, if you could give your plugs one more time, Wise Media, everything else that you got going on.
Sure. So WiseMediaGroupLLC.com is our website. On YouTube, just if you type in Wise Media Studios, Yakima specifically, all of our content will come up. Our podcast, wherever you can listen to podcasts, I'll send John the link so he can post them in his show notes there. If you want to go check out my prison stuff, my prison story, RDAP Dan, RDAP DAN. We just did a really cool video. One of my childhood friends is Oscar Isaac, who he was Poe Dameron in Star Wars. If you know the name, you know the name. But we just did a video, and we shared for the very first time a clips of a short film that Oscar and I did back in 1997, where I get to kick his ass in the ocean. So if you want to watch that video, it's on our YouTube channel.
All right, man. Dan, great catching up with you and hearing about everything that you're working on. Sounds like some really cool stuff.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. See ya. All right, guys. That was my interview with Dan Wise. Good guy. Guy I've known since, I think Dan was right. I think 2017 was when he came on Felony Friday. And yeah, that's the reason why I started doing video and really why we started Lions of Liberty doing video as a whole. So kudos to Dan for that. Thank you for pushing us over that audio only edge that we were sitting on. Yeah, but hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. I really love bringing on guests like Dan, like Chris Spangle a few weeks ago, who are really pushing the margins and looking for new ways to grow a podcast, looking for new space in the podcasting community, looking to bring more people into the podcasting community, looking for better ways to monetize podcasts. I think it's so important. And podcasting is not getting any easier. I mean, it's getting a lot harder for someone who's been doing this for almost 10 years. It's a lot easier to grow an audience 8 years ago than it is now. A lot easier to maintain an audience 4-6 years ago than it is now. There's just so much competition for eyeballs and for ears that it's a daily grind every day, like Dan was saying. But appreciate you all tuning in. Check out the show notes page for all of the relevant links. We'll have everything there. And I will see everyone next week. In the meantime, always remember to keep your head up and the fires of liberty burning.